This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Raybrand and our other family member, Gary Byrne. We are red hot rolling tonight. It is Saturday, July the 20th, 2024. Let's go through the muster real quick. Walter, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I wish I had more Jack Daniels.
Well, I got some here at the house. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great. Sorry, I had to unmute. Doing great tonight, actually. Thank you.
Outstanding. And Gary, who's coming on tonight to talk about what happened last week, we do not consider you a guest, Gary. You are a member of this family. How are we doing tonight, Mr. Byrne?
Thank you. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Not a problem. Anyways, we want to say hello to all of our special listeners, including Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, which I will be traveling to tomorrow. Also, we want to say hello to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, and all of our fans on Long Island, especially in the 2nd Congressional District. First order of business, as always, we remember the men and women of law enforcement who were murdered in line of duty. Fortunately, this week, unfortunately, we lost Deputy Sheriff Fernando Esquera of the Harris County, Texas Sheriff's Office, end of watch, July the 11th, 2024. His killer is alive and in custody. Anyways, last week we took the week off for a well-deserved vacation for our production team. And former President Donald Trump, the current nominee for the Republican ticket, was almost murdered last week. And we brought Gary on to discuss what happened, who's at fault, and what the Secret Service can do to prevent the assassination of President Trump or any protectee. Gary, just take it away. If we got questions, we're going to just throw them out there. Have at it, sir.
Okay. Well, I'll start with one of the reasons I wrote my second book, Secrets of the Secret Service, was sort of because of this. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't predict what happened last Saturday, but I was afraid something like that would happen. And I based my fear on, at the time, of the incredible visceral reaction people have to Donald Trump for no reason. You know, we actually, you know, people made up a term for it, Trump derangement syndrome. And don't forget, not too long ago, approximately 6 months ago, 8 members of Congress lobbied Joe Biden to force the Secret Service to drop Donald Trump's protection. So then we come up to last weekend and, you know, basically a culmination of things I talked about in Secrets of the Secret Service is an agency that is way undermanned, poorly managed, has been for many years. You know, just to give your audience an idea of where I'm coming from, I'm not bashing the individual officer or agent. I'm bashing a corrupt, bloated management system that's got so many levels of management. They don't even know who orders what there. And just to give you an example of some of the mistakes they've made over the years. When John Kennedy died in 1963 in Dallas, Texas, 4 presidents had been shot at in open vehicles. Well, what's our learning curve? Why were we still using open vehicles? Set aside all the conspiracy theory stuff. The car should have had a roof on it. And then and then after his assassination, there was a group of people that got together and a panel, and they made many suggestions to the Secret Service. Some of them were adopted, some of them weren't. Now, here's where it comes to this bad management mentality. One of the things that was suggested to them is when the president is out in public and in an open crowd, that you secure the press and you don't let him in an unsecured area. You don't let him around people that aren't secured. So then you come up to Jerry Ford. Jerry Ford was shot at twice in unsecured crowds within a 14-day period by two different women. Then we come up to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan gets shot by John Hinckley. It's very similar to Jerry Ford. Again, what is our learning curve? How many times do we have to risk these people's lives before we start managing correctly and stop inflating these agencies? You know, the problem with the Secret Service, and I say this in the second book, is it's got all the problems of the IRS and the Postal Service, but nobody knows about it because they hide behind this fake ideal that the name Secret Service is secret. It's no more secret than the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. So here we are, where, you know, a week ago today, and one of the most popular leaders ever in the world, and I don't think that's an exaggeration at all, is giving a speech, and his Secret Service detail, many of the people that normally work with him, were taken away for other protection of the first family, Joe Biden and his wife, and then they were backfilled with other people. They didn't have enough, the counter-sniper surveillance teams, and we still don't know how many they had. They were only added on the day before. Any counter-sniper surveillance team needs at least 24 hours at the smallest venue to do their surveillances. And the ideal that this building, this guy was on, was not inside the Secret Service circle of security is complete BS. Of course it was. The problem was they were undermanned. They didn't have the people to do it. The local police departments always help, but they're always supervised by an agent and or an officer. And they were so undermanned that they didn't have that cooperation and supervision for the local police. This guy literally climbed up on the building that they were in and took a shot at Donald Trump. And one of the biggest confusions for the counter-sniper guys was that they didn't have the response teams they normally have. It doesn't do any good to put a guy on a roof with a high-powered rifle and binoculars if you can't send somebody to see what he sees, right? I see a suspicious person, you have to go and look at it. And they didn't have that response set up correctly. And for a while before this guy attacked Donald Trump, they saw him, but they weren't sure. They thought he was a cop because he was on the building of the local police department. And he was relatively dressed similarly. He had the type of BDUs on, and he had an AR-15. There was a lot of confusion. And it goes back. It does go up to the director. And I know everybody's jumping up and down that she should be fired. I don't want her fired. I want her forced to tell the truth, and I want her to stand and explain how she's going to fix these problems. But they never do. They always hide behind layers of management and we can't talk about that as president's protection. One thing I learned in my research for Secrets of the Secret Service is this agency will never tell the truth. In the early 90s, Congress reopened the file on JFK. When they went through the Secret Service for the information on the motorcade that day in Dallas, Texas, and who was working, all the records had been destroyed, and they didn't have to explain a thing. So that tells you what we're up against when it comes to finding the truth.
Gary, you mentioned that there's a lack of manpower in the Secret Service. I mean, the U.S. government is a multi-trillion-dollar agency, between $4 and $6 trillion a year. Why can't the Secret Service get the bodies for one of the most important agencies in the entire federal government?
Well, it's okay. First of all, you're 100% right. And for years it was lack of money, but they do have a very big budget. And it's not so much that they can't get the money, but the problem is that, and it's a legit issue, is it's hard to get people. There's a lot of screening, right? So out of 100 people, you screen 100 people for the uniform division, you might get maybe one 24-man class. When I joined, I was one of 300 people that they screened. And out of that 300 people, they got 40. And that's not 40 that graduated. That's just 40 that qualified to take the test and then to start the process. So, and it's very similar for the agent side. And then once you get on, the Secret Service is really good at telling you, you know, everything you want to hear, right? And the problem is that 90% of what people know about the Secret Service is from TV and movies, and it's all glamorous and wonderful, and everybody goes home at night. But in reality, you get on the job, and you end up working yourself into the ground. Just to give you an idea, when I started in 1991, my base pay was $21,500. In that first year, I made $37,000 with the forced overtime. Not voluntary overtime, forced overtime.
Okay, we're coming on our first commercial break. When we return, we'll give former Secret Service Officer Gary Byrne the floor to talk about what happened and why the agency is such a mess. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio. Take it away, boy.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Tanilla's Instagram account. Here's more 75 Radio.
All right, we are back. Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew, Mike Rakebrandt, and Gary Byrne. Now, Gary was a former Secret Service uniform officer, former Air Marshal, veteran of the United States Air Force, and he is also a best-selling author. He wrote the book, Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service. He wrote this book about, what, 8 years ago, Gary?
That one came out in 2018.
Anyways, go to Amazon or go to our website, 75radio.org, click on the link. Walt, Mike, do you have any questions for Gary at this point?
If I might chime in, Gary, how are you? It's nice to have you back. It's
Thank
always
so
a pleasure to have, when we talk about bringing people into our family, we talk about real people into our family, except Charlie LaDuff, of course, but that's the exception. somebody's got to love them. Anyway, Gary is our insight to, Secret Service. He's the guy that has the playbook, and we just ask him questions that we need, that we would like answers to. He doesn't reveal everything. There's no sense in revealing everything. We all know that everything in the Secret Service these days is shut the front door. It's totally screwed up. It's amazing how you see the Secret Service all the time these days with social media and YouTube channels, and everybody's covering a newscast. You know, Trump is here, Trump is there. Biden is, in the bed, and the Secret Service is outside. But when we have an incident like we did last Saturday, that's when you hear about it, okay? That's when you hear about the Secret Service, okay? It was either a yay or a nay. They either did everything right or not. They did a lot of things right, you know, in my eyes, you know, as a civilian. I think they did a lot of things that we saw, you know, up on the stage. First thing out of my mind was, those girls are kind of short, you know. One of them was a little pudgy. Now, you know, we got to put it where it is. One was a little bit pudgy. Exactly who I would want on my detail that was protecting me. You know, Donald Trump is pudgy himself. You need somebody in better shape than Donald Trump to take care of Donald Trump. Joe Biden has it. I mean, well, everybody in the world is in better shape than Joe Biden. But that's besides the point. We have enormous resources to have the correct people. Now, I, for one, am not prejudicial against women having their jobs, people of color having their jobs, as long as they're qualified for that job.
Right.
Okay. Being a Secret Service agent does not qualify those three short females to guard President Trump. You know, they may be snipers on their own. You know, that maybe they're better off being snipers on flat roofs because they're not allowed to go up on slope roofs anymore. we have enormous resources, okay, for all law enforcement across the nation. However, in the past 10 years, I have watched, they called me a bad cop back in the day. Okay. The resources that are being recruited are not up to par as they were many years ago, before social media. However, if you have, I don't know if you guys remember the female wrestler China, she passed away some years ago, but everybody remembers China. That's the kind of female I want on my detail.
Well, I can answer some of your questions for you. Yeah.
I want somebody tall. I want somebody big. I want somebody strong. I want somebody who could do the job. I want somebody who can carry me off the stage in case I get my ear shot off.
Yeah.
That's what I want. The young blonde girl, did stand right up in front of Trump as he was getting up, and she totally blocked his body from the camera, from the crowd angle, okay, which I thought was great. But once he stood up, he was shoulders high above her. And then, you know, they got him down the stairs, ducked him into the, the GMC. And the first thing that blonde chick did was put on her sunglasses, tug on her coat, and kind of look at the other girl asking, like, how do I look? Do I look okay? While the other one was trying to put her gun in the holster. So my question is, how often do they do panic events or rehearsals?
Right.
How often? Because now in our schools, you know, every school is doing a panic hour, you know, to practice to get the gunman out, you know, or find the gunman or save the kids. How often would the Secret Service be doing that kind of thing? Because it's rare we have an event like what happened last Saturday. It's rare.
So the training takes place once you leave the training cycle and you go to a field office or detail. The training takes place every quarter and also every month. There's training every month. There's training in the quarter. But here, this goes back to the manpower problem. You can only do that if you have the manpower. Now, I can't tell you when the last time those agents – had gotten training. I can't tell you the last time. I can't even tell you, and I'm not even sure the director could tell you, nor do I think she cares, when the last time one of those people had a day off. The first thing I want to know about what happened that day is everybody there, agents, officers, technicians, counter sniper, whoever, I want to know their, I want to know how many hours they worked in the last 30 days. I want to know the last time they got leave. Now, going forward to the training, let's walk through the scenario. So the first shot rings out. The shot hits President Trump in the ear. He, just because he's looking the right way and misses his skull, he drops himself down. So the first thing you need to know is the podium that he's standing behind is actually a reinforced podium. And then that wall in front of the podium that's decorated with, you know, whatever that was, that's also reinforced. This is how they practice it. There's a couple different scenarios they could have gone with, but they went with shelter in place. He dropped down. They jumped on top of him. You can't really, in today's modern world, you can't discriminate against somebody who, because they're short. They passed all the training or whatever they were supposed to. As far as their size, you know, I guess once, you know, everybody, once they get on the job, they get a little bit heavy. They're all wearing body armor, so that makes you look a little bit bigger. Now, I'm not making excuses for you. I'm just telling you exactly, you know, how this works. And you know, we do know now that the Secret Service director, this may be the, in my opinion, this may be the first Secret Service director that's acting on politics. So we know now that a couple of days before, they transferred quite a few people from Trump's detail to fortify Joe Biden and Jill Biden's detail. So that's not sinister. That's just, again, it goes back to they don't have enough people. You know, I don't look at everything that I see and everything that I hear that I can prove as being sinister. I try not to get wrapped up in the conspiracy theories. So we're up on stage. Trump's down. They're on top of him, right? The first thing you see if you watch the video is if you look through the little holes there, and you can also hear them communicating because I think it was ABC had a microphone pointed at him. And they're checking Trump. They know he's bleeding from the ear. They checked his skull. They're looking, they're groping his body. This is one of the things they did learn from Reagan's assassination. Ronald Reagan was shot almost 5 minutes went by before they realized he was actually shot. You know, if you remember the Reagan attempted assassination, Jerry Parr shoves him into the car. And when he shoves him into the car, he jumps on top of him like he's supposed to. They get the door closed. They take off. He sits up. He sits Reagan up. And Reagan says, "Damn it, Jerry, you broke my ribs. I think you broke my ribs." So Jerry faces him on the seat. And I know this. I mean, this is the way Jerry Parr taught it to us. But I actually had Jerry Parr tell me this personally one time when I was helping him out with a tour at the training center. But anyway, he searched his hair, ran his hands through, around his hair, around his neck. He shoves his hands underneath his armpits inside his jacket and pulls them out, and there's no blood on them because the bullet flattened out when it hit the door, and it was about the size of a dime. And it went right underneath Reagan's armpit and sliced open a little dime-sized hole that his armpit was compressing when he had his arm down. There was no bleeding yet. So Parr tells the agent driving the car to go to the White House, and he checks Reagan out again. And as he's talking to Reagan, he says, "How do you feel, Mr. President?" And he said, "Jerry, I really think you broke my ribs." And when he says it, Parr looks at his lip and there's a spot of blood on his lip. So Parr asks him one more question. And when Reagan goes to speak, he sees two spots of blood. So he yells at the driver. They spin the car around and back to the GW hospital. Reagan was literally bleeding out in the car, and they didn't know it. And my point to telling that part of the story about Reagan is because this is what they've been ingrained in them. You know, what we see and that most people see in the Secret Service, 99% of it is TV and movies. What I saw that day was not too bad. You know, I mean, sure, yes, some of the agents could have been taller, but they were sent there last minute. The counter-sniper teams weren't assigned to the day before. That's not the way the process works. And when you talked about resources, it doesn't matter how many billions of dollars you throw at the Secret Service. If they don't have the manpower and they still are adapting, they're still using this really crappy management system, you know, do as we say, not as we do, or off with your head. This is what happened.
All right, folks. Gary Byrne, telling it like it is. When we come back, we'll have more Gary's analysis of what happened. Also, Scoop Stanton's going to a pool party next week. Stay tuned, everybody. More 75 Radio coming up.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will consistently deliver better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at BestHotGrill.com. Solaire, hot, fast grills at BestHotGrill.com.
The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies. There's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Concerns about human rights.
A panel of human rights experts has called on Belarus to release the Nobel Peace Prize-winning founder of the country's most respected rights group, who's been behind bars for 3 years. Alois Bialyatsky's imprisonment came amid a widespread crackdown on opponents of authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko after mass protests over an election whose allegedly manipulated results gave Lukashenko a sixth term in office. The UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention says that the basis for the arrest and subsequent detention of Mr. Bialyatsky was his exercise of freedom of expression and freedom of assembly, and called for his release. Keith Peters reporting.
11 people have died in the collapse of a highway bridge in northwestern China following very heavy storms and flooding. Rescue operations are underway for dozens more still missing. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Health officials say, hey, no need to worry, but there are a lot of unanswered questions following an outbreak of listeria linked to deli meats. At least two people have died. Jackie Quinn has the latest.
This listeria outbreak is baffling health officials, who note most of those sickened by the bacteria had eaten deli meat that was sliced at the grocery store deli counter. But there are no links yet on which store, which state, and what brand of cold cuts. Although it's reported the cases most commonly involve sliced turkey, ham, and liverwurst. The people who died lived in New Jersey and Illinois, but cases have been found in at least a dozen states. Listeria can be dangerous for people over age 65, pregnant women, and those with weakened immune systems. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerke, Mike Rickbrandt, and Gary Byrne. Got some breaking news real fast. Walter Yerke liked two posts I put on the 7-5 Radio message board on Facebook. Once again, Walter Yerke liked two posts I put on the Facebook account for 7-5 Radio. Gary, when I usually post something, either Walter ignores it or he puts something like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Now, if it's something about the First Ladies of Radio, that's something different. Anyways, Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you. Do you have any questions, comments, or concerns to Mr. Byrne?
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Byrne, so to me, when I look at the entire debacle that happened last week with President Trump getting shot, it's like symbolic of everything else wrong with the government right now. It's this bloated, absolutely bloated bureaucracy, but it's so bloated at the top. It's overloaded with managers and you know, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. That was the case in the NYPD. That was the case everywhere I went and everywhere I saw it. And with the federal bureaucracy, the FBI, the IRS, or whatever, we're seeing the results of that bloated bureaucracy and the incompetence it generates, and honestly, the corruption it generates. I mean, would you think that's the same? I mean, does that play a part in this whole thing? Or
no, absolutely. I talk about this extensively in Secrets of the Secret Service. There's so many levels of management in the Secret Service. You've got a director, you've got a deputy director, then you've got, when I left, there were I think 14 or 17 assistant deputy directors, and then underneath that they have another level of management. And then underneath that, then you have the special agent in charge of each field office or each detail. And there's so many levels of management. I'm telling you, if anybody ever tries to tell the truth about what happened with the attempted assassination with President Trump, they won't be able to because they won't even know who did what. And one of the reasons they do that is because it insulates themselves and their careers. You know, one of my unfortunate claims of fame was that I ended up having to testify against Bill Clinton in his impeachment. And I'm not going to sidetrack us here. I'm just going to use this as a quick example. One of the first things that the Secret Service did when we started getting subpoenaed was, now the people in charge of the Secret Service at the time had worked on Bill Clinton's detail. They knew everything that Judge Starr, Ken Starr, wanted to know. But instead of coming forward and telling the truth, they pushed the uniform division guys forward like myself to protect themselves. So fast forward back to what happened with President Trump, or, you know, back up to what happened with President Trump. And it's just this culmination of everything I talk about in Secrets of the Secret Service. It's a bloated management system. Nobody takes responsibility. Somebody said earlier about the resources. You're right. They have a lot of resources, but, and they give you a lot of great training. By the time you graduate from either the agent side or the uniform division side, and you stop and take a deep breath and look back, most people say, God, I'm so overtrained for what I do. But it's not, they're not being trained for what they do. It's what you might have to do. So when we were talking about what happened that day, and you know, so they're on the dais, you know, and they're moving to the car. You know, you see a lot of weird movements from the agents and stuff, and because this is the first time, everybody there, and you guys know this, is anybody that's ever been in a car accident, you don't have to be shot at, anybody that's ever been in a car accident or something startling, it's a huge adrenaline dump. And everybody, including Donald Trump, they get this huge adrenaline dump. And these agents, this is the first time they've ever been involved in something that when it was over, somebody said, okay, let's do the scenario again. This was real life. And the counter sniper guy, the counter sniper has been around since the mid 60s after JFK's assassination. This is the first time they've ever fired in real life. And so there was a lot of confusion. The short manpower led to all this confusion, not enough people to do their jobs, not to secure the buildings. And I'm not sure if I said this yet, but that building that guy was on, you know, they're trying to say that it was outside their security circle. That's complete bullshit. It was not outside the security circle. It was outside what they had the manpower to secure. Again, they were so short that they left that building out. And the building was full of local police that didn't have a Secret Service agent representative with them because of short manpower. and there was a lot of confusion. The counter sniper guy thought the guy on the roof at first was a local cop. So again, like you said, it does it go back to the bloated government agency and bad management style that they keep day, incident after incident? They spend more time hiding what they actually did and the mistakes that were made than trying to fix anything. So yes, you're right. It's a giant bloated, circus that can't dance.
Wow.
Well said. Thank you.
Gary, let's go back to something you said about women or female agents and officers. Is it true that the Secret Service has different PC standards for males and females?
Yeah, actually, generally, the most of the federal government does. The minimum for women is different than the minimum for men. Yeah, that's true. But I think that's about the only standard. Like, shooting is the same. There's not, like, when it comes to combat and fighting, physical fighting, there's not a standard so much, but you have to do, you have to learn these takedown moves, and you have to get beat up. And the Secret Service, I'm pretty critical about a lot of the things, but one of the things that they're pretty good about is, and I'm a big proponent of this, and I'm sure it will appall some people, but, a good portion of the population, they come to the Secret Service or another police agency, they've never been punched in the face. I'm sorry, you got to get punched in the face. You've got to learn how to deal with that adrenaline dump. You have to learn to deal with that fear and taste blood in your mouth. And I'm not saying they do it, they just punch you right in the face, but the aggressive training, defensive measures and that kind of stuff, you eventually do get roughed up and you get hurt. And they're pretty good with that. But the truth of the matter is that the people that were working with President Trump normally were not there that day, and they were pulled off. And I'm not trying to say there was anything sinister about it. Again, it's a bad management decision. And they pulled those people off, supposedly to, this is what I'm hearing from inside the Secret Service, they pulled them off and to back up, to beef up President Biden's detail and Jill Biden's detail. And then they backfilled them with other agents. And, some of the things that people saw, the one girl looked like she was overweight, and she may have been a little overweight, but don't forget, women have breasts and body armor does not fit very well all the time. And the other incident that people were bringing up was the one girl couldn't holster her gun. Well, based on what just happened, I'm not freaked out about that. They're dealing with the adrenaline dump. They're looking around. Again, this is all new to them, not the training part, but this is real life now. And eventually she finds the holster and she gets her gun in it. There's a couple other things that, that people commented about, but I'd like to back up to the snipers, the counter sniper guys. Again, they got noticed the day before, and part of the confusion was that they thought this guy was local law enforcement. They couldn't get a confirmation because, again, they're short on manpower. So the Secret Service, do they have it? When I was there, did I ever see them pass somebody that probably shouldn't have been? Yeah, from time to time. But they also go to field offices and they're as critical as I am about them. They're pretty good about their standards. But the problem is once you get on the job, they're so short on manpower, whether it's the uniform division at the White House, the foreign missions branch, or the agents on details in Washington or field offices, they're so short that they don't have time to train and or the people to go and do the training because they're traveling and fulfilling all these demands. So.
Wow. One little thing
that I want to stick in there is, was it the third day of the convention? Was it Wednesday or early Thursday before Mr. Trump took the podium? We had four United States senators. They spoke to Director Cheadle a few minutes early. They did not realize that she was in the cannibal city of Milwaukee, but they ran into her out on the tundra. And, I get it that Cheadle probably should have said, listen, I'm in Milwaukee. I can't talk to you right now. There's so much going on. You know, talk to my people, make an appointment. And yet these the senators, when they saw her out there on the tundra on the floor, they approached her. It was, you know, like they bum rushed her is what they did.
Right.
And sure. They started, you know, yapping, you know, questions at her. And, you know, what are your thoughts on Cheadle making a quick exit stage left when we come
back?
All
right, we'll talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
All right, we are back once again, folks. You got Scoop Stanton, Mike Raybrand, Walter Yurkow, and Gary Byrne. Gary, real quick, Walter asked about the senators going up to the director of the Secret Service, and your reaction real quick.
Sure. It's sort of the first time I've ever seen that. The problem with this director is that she's got the reputation of being a hire because she was friends with Jill Biden, Mrs. Biden, because when she, years ago, before she left the Secret Service, she helped cover up one of their family scandals. And so the senators are chasing her on the floor like that. You know, I thought I was uncomfortable seeing it, but it's inevitable because well, I'm going to tell you right now, we're never going to get the truth on this. We still don't know all the details about the Kennedy assassination. We're never going to get all the details on it because it's embarrassing to the Secret Service, and they're going to protect themselves. You know, they've been caught destroying records before of other incidences, and denying stuff that, you know, that eventually came out and embarrassed them, and nobody's ever held accountable. That's the whole thing. No director is ever held accountable. Everybody gets to retire with their pension and live on with their lives and you know, chuckle in private. I don't want her to resign. I want her to stay and fix some of this crap. Come out and tell the damn truth. You know, yes, you're so short on manpower. You made a terrible decision to remove people from one protection detail and put them on another. You know, what? Again, I want to know
you know, everybody there, I want to know how many days straight they've worked in the last 30 days. I want to know if they've had any days off. People are human. We're only human. I don't care what crap if you're in the Secret Service or a librarian. You're only human. You can only go so far before you start to break. And I've been there, you know, as a in the uniform division as an air marshal, to the point of you know, physical collapse almost, because, oh, yeah, I'll do it. You know, you can't run me into the ground. Now, guess what? That's not true. And what we saw on Saturday was a culmination of many of the things I talk about in Secrets of the Secret Service, the fact that they've got this director. When I looked up, you know, I knew who she was since she came on, Cheadle. But when I looked her up the other day to check on and see if there's anything new about her, the first video pops up on YouTube. It's her sitting there talking about she wants to hire 30%, wants 30% of the Secret Service to be women. I don't care how many women are in the Secret Service. I don't care how many white guys, black guys. I don't care how many Jews. I want people that are damn qualified and will stand up and do the job. And I want managers, supervisors, managers, deputy assistant directors, you know, whatever their damn titles are, to do their job, protect these people. You know, that this is the main job. And then they completely screwed the pooch on this, and they're going to do everything they can to hide their culpability.
Right, right. But anyways, Gary, we could talk about this like for another whole month. But anyways, we need to change gears real quick. Next Sunday, not tomorrow, but next Sunday, the 28th of July in Lorton, Virginia, is the Pretty Picks pool party where Vegas meets DC. 75 Radio will be there. It's a charity pool party for the Northern Virginia Mental Health Foundation. The Dons and Divas of Ultimate Dons and Divas Entertainment is putting it on. 75 Radio will be there from 5 to 9 in Lorton, Virginia. Go to the website, 75radio.com. Go to Eventbrite, type in Pretty Picks Pool Party or Pool Party. You will find out how to get tickets and where the event is located. Now, they're having this for those who suffer from mental illness and behavioral disabilities. They're going to have a mini buffet. They're going to have mermaids. They're going to have a red carpet experience, butterfly dances, wherever the hell that is. Sponsorship shout out. So you'll be hearing people screaming 75 Radio, a celebrity DJ, glow stick experience, bottle service, and a whole bunch of other things, including yours truly. So, folks, check it out. It's going to be a blast. Anyways, Gary, for the past couple weeks, the two other gentlemen on the show have been mentioning nothing but my alleged swim mare. Now, I'm going to pass the mic over to you. Gary, what's your thoughts on 75 Radio going to the Pretty Picks pool party next Sunday?
I think you're going to have a good time. I think you're going to have fun. You know, as far as the swim mare is, be careful. Today's world is very litigious. Somebody might go after you, not only civilly, but criminally, depending on what you wear. So I'd be real careful.
What do you mean? Somebody's come up to me for what I'm wearing. What are you hinting at, sir?
I don't know. I heard some rumors that there might be some scandal, you know, scantily clad bathing suits there. And, you know, just be careful. You know, you know, you don't want to scare anybody. It's about a fundraiser. It's not about panic. So you know, I'd be real careful.
Have you been talking to Walt and Mike about this? Jesus
Christ. I have, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I'm gonna rat you all out.
It's a sequined, bedazzled man thong.
Yeah. So when I was a young man hanging out in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, we used to refer to them as Canadian banana hammocks. So, anyway.
Well, Walter, can you save us? Because I got Gary and Mike claiming I got these bedazzled Canadian banana hammocks. Well, what say you? And I'm sure poor Bree just bowed to record. Carl,
no
listen
comment.
To this.
No comment.
All right, good.
No comment.
Thank you, sir. All right, but folks, all right, check this out. The 28th of July, 5 to 9, Lorton, Virginia. Go to our website. Check us out. Also, buy Gary's books. They are absolutely amazing pieces of work. Real quick, I just want to mention that we are a family on this network and everywhere. Gary, you were on Charlie Duff's No
Beef. Scoop, you're the only one going to this pool party, you know.
Well, I'm bringing
aren't going, you know.
Well, if you drive down,
I'd go if they made eggplant hammocks, but they don't. So,
if you drive up to DC, you can go because I am bringing a guest. Unfortunately, it's not Ms. Rodriguez. She will be out of town, so mm-hmm. I am bringing somebody. But anyways, well, if you drive your ass up, you can go too. But
you bring one of her friends.
Well, we'll see. But anyways, on a more serious note, this week, Gary, you were on the No BS News with Charlie. Walter was on with Charlie's podcast. Charlie's been on this show a whole bunch of times. You were also on the Political Cesspool tonight. And it turns out you were on the Political Cesspool back in 2016. So just want to say that you've been on this show a number of times. Walter, he came on as a guest on the cesspool, and eventually became a guest on my other show, Red 42, before we morphed this into Center 5 Radio. And then same thing with Mike. He came on as a guest, just killed it, filled in a couple times. And, you know, the thing is, nobody goes anywhere, and I just love the people that we bring into the family, including Charlie Adolf and Eggplant Hammock Yerku over there. So, you know, Gary, you are a part of this family, and, you know, anytime you want to come on because you have something to say, please come on. And you can hear you can hear Walter and Mike talk about the jealousy that I'm going to this great pool party in normal attire. But folks, but Gary,
it's
I'll give you the last words.
Just got to see it.
Are we going to spend the next 2 minutes talking about me? Good.
No, I hope not.
That makes two of us. Gary, I'll give you the last 30 seconds. If you got anything to promote, go ahead. Or any shout outs, any things like that, go right ahead.
Yeah, nothing to promote. I just appreciate being on the show and everybody your great questions. I just wanted to reiterate one more thing. Any of my criticisms or comments about the Secret Services, the management, and the supervision and years of making the same mistakes. It's not about the individual agent and officers. They're trying to do the best they can inside a broken system. Now, I'm not saying nobody made any mistakes, but if you don't point these mistakes out and you can't learn from them. I have no hostility towards anybody. I'm just tired of these same, you know, incident after incident after incident. These are just the ones that get public. And, you know, we almost lost one of the, you know, a great man, a family man, because of bad communications, years of critically bad mistakes and management decisions. And, you know, it hurts a lot of people, and it damn near destroyed a family. So not to mention the people that were injured and killed. You know, a police chief, a fire chief was killed. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, that's weighs on everybody.
Right. We couldn't say it any better, period. Walt, Mike, you got anything else? We got a couple seconds before music starts playing.
I got nothing, bro. Mike?
Mike, do you have anything constructive not to talk about my banana hammock?
I got a podcast dropping now. It's at the Dirt Road Pod on YouTube, Rumble, anywhere you get your podcasts. Just check it out.
Now you tell us. All right, we'll talk about this later. Anyways, for Walter Yerku, Mike Rakebrand, and Gary Byrne, this is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Do not comply.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.